He hurt bad children. And did terrible things to their mommies. But you can't kill the boogeyman. Now, the most terrifying nightmare of childhood returns. The boogeyman. He's going to get you.
All right, we have 8 minutes to go in trading. Those of you who have followed me for years know that this is the bad sign in the market when you are in the final moments of trading and your final trade towards the downside after a valiant struggle all day to try and recover some of the losses after this is now the fourth straight day of pain losses. The buyers are losing right now. The sellers are winning. The Dow is now off 1,030 points. I have been in this business for more than a quarter century, and there are very few days when I have seen four digits in that Dow. That is a 3.8% drop, and we're seeing this continue. I want to bring in my partner, Stephanie Ruhl, who's live on the other side of this on the New York Stock Exchange. What are you hearing down there, Steph? What are you sensing?
Just moments ago, that's exactly what I heard. People shouting, down 1,000, down 1,000. We have not seen Dow falls 3,000 this week. We haven't seen a drop like this since the financial crisis. Now, guys on top, you are saying, hold your horses. This could be overdone. Because remember, people say the market was, before this, twice to perfection. It was climbing, So on some level, we were looking for a correction. But over a 50% correction in less than a week, that's huge. Simply not understanding what's in store, but really the fact that this economy is driven by consumer spending, and there's no way you are seeing consumers get out there and spend at a time like this.
Right, and we're seeing struggles at the end of the day, right? Because there are still some people who are in there. A lot of people on the floor have said, this isn't panic. It looks like panic, but it's not panic. All day we've seen people buying and people selling. So right now people are still trying to figure out what's going on. Earpiece thing in a second. Here we go. We got 1,047 points again. This is unprecedented.
Boogeyman.
if you look at this market compared to last Friday, this is before we were really considering this coronavirus seriously, that is a drop of, I'm going to guess, almost 11% now, certainly more than 10%, and a drop of 864, it was 10%. Again, for one day, a 4% drop would be big, but it's
definitely have its own power.
Can you just sometimes not contain it till morning? I was like, did he just blame the Democratic debate for the stock market drop? The debate that happened 2 days after the stock market drop? Oh, my God. Just that it's so predictable doesn't make it any better. That he's going to make it about himself, about how great he is, and blame someone else. Nancy's incompetent. Democratic debate. He said that twice. The Democratic debate that happened after stock market drop. It was not coronavirus. Okay. And then also, what was the other thing he said? Oh, Ebola makes people disintegrate. Totally different thing. Beep.
They have a connection to an expert on this because of the Nat Geo show called Hot Stuff.
Laughing for? What do you want? This is about pandemic disease. And they're not asking tough questions.
And literally every person that got up there and spoke after him contradicted what he's like. He's like, oh, we're going to have a vaccine in a very short amount of time. The guy's like, yeah, we might have one a year to 18 months.
The experts are saying something completely different than he just said.
What we typically haven't seen since the recession.
There's 60.
Right. He's not counting the 45 people that are in quarantine, first of all.
He's like, it's going down, literally, as there's a report of the virus outbreak in Northern California.
It melts in the spring like snow.
"81,000 have now been infected with the virus that causes the respiratory disease COVID-19. To contain the spread of the coronavirus in Japan, where the number of cases has reached 200, today the Prime Minister Shinzo Abe called for schools to close.
I request all elementary, middle, and high schools and special needs schools to be temporarily closed from March 2nd until spring vacation.
Meanwhile, Japan says the 2020 Summer Olympics are still scheduled to take place in the capital, Tokyo. In South Korea, the number of coronavirus cases has passed 1,700, making it the largest outbreak outside of China. At least one U.S. soldier stationed at a base in the area has tested positive for the virus, and the U.S. and South Korea have called off joint military exercises. This comes as the government of Iran says at least 245 people have been infected and 26 have died, but experts say the toll is likely much higher. Meanwhile, officials in Kuwait reported 43 new cases, and Saudi Arabia has taken the unprecedented step of barring Muslim pilgrims from entering the country to visit the holy cities of Mecca and Medina. Here in the United States, President Trump downplayed the threat from coronavirus and announced Vice President Mike Pence would be his point person to coordinate government efforts to prevent a widespread outbreak.
Because of all we've done, the risk to the American people remains very low. We have the greatest experts in the world, really in the world, right here. We're ready to adapt and we're ready to do whatever we have to as the disease spreads, if it spreads.
As Trump spoke at his White House news conference, a new milestone in the coronavirus outbreak was reported in a possible example of community spread. A person was diagnosed with the virus in Northern California who'd not traveled to any of the affected regions of the world, nor had known contact with anyone else who did. Officials say they don't know how the person was exposed and have begun tracing the person's contacts in order to determine how they got sick.
Recession is 4 days of this.
We haven't seen that. This is going to only increase the pressure on the Fed to cut rates. But again, let's see if we see the Fed cut rates. Then what? If we're living in a moment where you see major events canceled, schools canceled for long periods of time, and actual companies have their bottom lines hurt, well, then the Fed could cut rates all day long. But you're not going to see people run out there so they can buy a house and start a business. This could, if we are facing a pandemic, this could be serious. And in the very short term, this lack of information out there, people have simply saying, I'm going to get out of the market today.
On Wednesday morning, Trump tweeted, quote, low ratings, fake news, MSDNC, Comcast, and CNN are doing everything possible to make the coronavirus look as bad as possible, including panicking markets, if possible. Likewise, their incompetent do-nothing Democrat comrades are all talk, no action, USA in great shape, President Trump tweeted, misspelling the word coronavirus. This is Democratic Congress member Joe Kennedy of Massachusetts questioning Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar Wednesday.
Mr. Secretary, I don't want to panic over this either. The stock market's crashing. He's trying to stop a stock market. He's not trying. He's outright contradicting everything that you all have just said. Outright contradiction.
I think he's expressing confidence in...
With no medical basis for it. That's what you've just explained to us. Come on, sir.
He's expressing that the American people need to take a breath here. That there's no change to anyone's daily life from this, that the country has a plan. We have pandemic plans.
Meanwhile, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta is warning the true number of U.S. coronavirus cases might be higher than reported because test kits sent out nationwide earlier this month included a faulty component.
That each of you will do his duty.
Your town is being quarantined.
We got 19 dead. We got 100 more infected. It's spreading like a brush fire.
What are you talking about?
If one of them's got it, then 10 of them got it now. And if one of them gets out of Cedar Creek, we have a very interesting problem.
Okay. 216 million Americans will be dead or dying.
I'm leaving with the team in an hour.
A president said something so strange that you really have to wonder. He said the reason the market dropped is because of the debate the other night. Well, the market had dropped 1,800 points before the debate the other night. The market dropped while he was speaking yesterday in his press conference. So, you know, let's not be silly about what that is. Clearly, the lack of ability to get some of the product to sell and the rest has an impact on the bottom line of some of these companies. We don't like seeing the market drop, that's for sure. We hope that this will have a turnaround, but it cannot affect how we address the issue. Our issue is public health. Our issue is prevention. And we would hope that that would not lower the market, but raise the market, because we want to show that decisions have made to put this in good hands.
And I caution people who are investing for the long term in their own portfolios to think this one through before you do that, because selling into a downdraft like this can be damaging, and sometimes you can't get in the right place. We don't have enough information, and that's what professional investors are worried about.
Its own power. The Boogeyman.
stone of the Betroyan. I pestered in a stone of the Betroyan at the churches.
Trump says the risk of Americans getting infected is low, and he led an effort yesterday to show his administration is prepared. Paula Reid is at the White House for us. Paula, good morning. What's the president's mission here?
Good morning, Tony. Well, this press conference came following days of conflicting messages from the administration on coronavirus. And CBS News has learned the president was frustrated that officials were not projecting a more positive outlook even as the markets tumbled. So last night, in only his second ever White House briefing room appearance, the president tried to reassure nervous Americans.
We're very, very ready for this, for anything.
Flanked by health officials, the president said his administration has plans in place for a worst-case scenario.
CNN has just confirmed a whistleblower for the Department of Health and Human Services reported U.S. workers who assisted coronavirus evacuees from Wuhan, China, did not have proper training or protective gear.
Look, I think it's a real problem, and I think what the American public wants to hear from the government right now. And by the way, in this kind of a crisis, the American public generally believes what the government is telling you. They want to believe you. What they want to hear from is the scientists. They need to hear from the scientists like Tony Fauci, who, according to the New York Times, may be kind of muzzled by the administration. He can't speak unless he's allowed to, and he is somebody who's spoken on infectious diseases for decades and decades.
A regular guest on our program.
Right. They don't want to hear from the politicians right now. They want to hear from the scientists to know what is being done, what needs to be done, what we're missing, such as the testing, for example, and what they can do to protect themselves instead of getting platitudes, which the president delivered yesterday, which was everything is great. We don't think it's going to spread here, but if it does, we're ready.
I mean, at least, you know, to give the president some credit, I think what he was trying to project is that America's health and scientific community is prepared, that we have a lot of means. I think that is good information. People do want and need to know that. But I agree with you. What we need is information. As a citizen, I want the government to be working at the federal level in a united way.
The outbreak worldwide and here in this country. We're joined here in New York by Laurie Garrett. Talk about the first news conference President Trump has held at the White House as he appointed, he wouldn't call him the czar, but as he appointed the vice president, Pence, as the person, the point person on dealing with the coronavirus.
Well, obviously, Pence needed some job besides Space Force. So now he has something to do in the White House. But all joking aside, Pence is not a medical expert, and he certainly is not someone who's demonstrated particularly great amount of respect for science. When he was governor of the state of Indiana, the opioid crisis started in southern Indiana, and suddenly people were injecting opioids. He went to his God and came back and told the legislature that he did not believe that any human being should receive sterile syringes to assist them in being a drug addict. His own legislature countered him. He vetoed,
And it was the Indiana model that President Trump cited in saying that he was qualified to lead this effort.
Exactly.
Now, let's talk about what's happening here. While it is said that the U.S. has far fewer cases of coronavirus than anywhere else, in fact, there is almost no testing that's
being
done.
Well, you know, we can't say that we don't have a lot of cases. The last time I looked at the count, we had tested 456 people in the entire United States. To put that in comparison, in Seoul, South Korea alone, they've tested 35,000. Now, you're not going to find cases if you're testing 456 people out of 260 million Americans. You're going to miss quite a number. What we should be doing right at this moment, the most urgent thing we should be doing, is testing every single pneumonia patient that is hospitalized. Because if there's likely to be a sneak through of this epidemic, it's going to come through as a pneumonia patient. It's going to be diagnosed as flu or some other cause. And it's actually going to be this coronavirus, and COVID-19 will break out in the hospital ward. Because what we've seen all over the world so far is these outbreaks really explode when they hit one of two things: a religious site, where you have large concentrations of people coming in for a religious festival of some sort, or a hospital. And if the index of suspicion isn't very, very high among the healthcare workers...
Or a cruise ship.
Well, cruise ship, that's just a petri dish. But if the rate is... If the healthcare workers aren't really on their toes, really alert, thinking, what if, and they don't have the right protective gear, then as they examine that patient, they become infected. And so... This is our problem right now. Now, this particular case in Northern California is very worrying because the individual lived in a rural area, was not a traveler, didn't know any travelers, was a local worker of some sort. We don't know a lot of details, 61-year-old male, and was in various health facilities getting misdiagnosed. And it was the health providers themselves who were saying to the public health of California, which was in turn saying it to CDC in Atlanta, we want this person tested for the coronavirus. We think that's what this is. And the CDC said, no, it doesn't look like it, and didn't do a test.
On Capitol Hill, lawmakers grilled senior administration officials over their response to the crisis. This is Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy, who on Tuesday blasted the acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf for struggling to produce basic facts about the coronavirus outbreak.
You're supposed to keep us safe.
My budget supports the men and women
of
the
Secretary of Homeland Security.
Yes, sir.
And you can't tell me if we have enough respirators.
The coronavirus. It's the worst global pandemic since Baby Shark. There are now over 80,000 confirmed cases in 40 countries.
This coronavirus is starting to make people nervous. Experts say this could be the fastest spreading virus from Asia since Gangnam Style, which is scary.
Trump tried to reassure us all.
There's a very good chance you're not going to die.
Oh, really?
This is your captain speaking. We are beginning our final descent into Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Put your tray tables up because we've got a solid chance of landing this sucker. I say odds are 60-40. We walk away from this.
Low ratings, fake news, MSDNC, and CNN are doing everything possible to make the coronavirus spelled wrong look as bad as possible, including panicking markets if possible. Likewise, their incompetent do-nothing Democrat comrades are all talk, no action. USA in great shape. He's right. Why is the liberal media only focusing on the negative side of the coronavirus? It's so biased.
The coronavirus is totally contained. It will not become a pandemic like smallpox, the swine flu, or Sears.
for the Department of Health and Human Services reported U.S. workers who assisted coronavirus evacuees from Wuhan, China, did not have proper training or protective gear.
Including stockpiling protective equipment and masks.
Every aspect of our society should be prepared.
And Mr. Trump said Vice President Mike Pence will head the task force responsible for monitoring the outbreak and coordinating with local officials across the country on their response to the virus.
I look forward, Mr. President,
the coronavirus.
In this role.
Health officials agreed with the president that the aggressive strategy so far had been working, but were cautious about the future.
What I would tell you is that the budget, my budget, our operations are focused not only on the men and women of DHS, making sure they're protected to do their jobs, to screen individuals coming in. We're working with HHS, CDC, and their budget to ensure that they have enough medical equipment.
Do we have enough face masks?
And by the way, in this kind of a crisis, the American public
For the Department of Homeland Security,
I'm telling you, they want to believe you. What they want to hear from is the scientists.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Furious, Furious George Show, WCOM LPFM, Chapel Hill, Carborough. I am the micro-powered Furious One. We do this every Thursday. I'm in here with DJ Eddie Abbey, doing our part, our civic duty, to raise awareness about problems in the world, namely at this moment. what do we want to call this? The potential pandemic. And at this point, it's just really fascinating to watch how the anti-science, anti-truth, or whatever, the whole antagonists about fake news, how they're all upset about the news getting out, the facts rushing in, and that somehow is affecting the market. And oh my gosh, it's really interesting. So anyway, that's what we do here on the Furious Show. We like to find some crazy cool music, spin it, slow it down a little bit, make it go backwards, and also include some news that might blow your mind a little bit. Go to furiousg.blogspot.com if you want to see some of the old shows. Go to wcomfm.org where you can help kick in for the station. A-Info's radio project where I post a lot of the stuff. What else? Lots of cool micro-power Furious radio out there, so support non-commercial public radio however you can. And if you want to hear some crazy cool music, we got some brand new stuff here in the studio. So stick around. I will be playing some new Caribou and some other fun new music that I've taken off of the pop radio stations, and I take the instrumental and slow it down and mess it up. Yes, that's right. We're going to be playing some slowed down instrumental Juicy. And other fun, crazy music. All the music I post, you can kind of follow it on furiousg.blogspot. And then I also have links to some of the crazy clips. Also here, being in North Carolina, North Kakalaki, we have some things that we're doing to support revolutionary democratic upheavals. Done that recently here in Chapel Hill, where I'm sitting, where we've torn down the Confederate statue. And actually, where my home is from, not too far from here in Chatham County, where we tore down a Confederate statue. And being the end of Black History Month, I want to acknowledge the great stuff and work that's been going on there. And I hope this see what happens Sunday or Saturday in South Carolina. But yours truly just came away from voting, and I can just let you know that I'm feeling the burn. You feel whatever you got to feel, and make sure whatever you do end up doing, you've accept the outcome, and then come back and help us take over, take back a piece of humanity, dignity from the T-rumpage. Yeah, the show may be offensive to some members in our listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Thanks for listening to Micropower Radio. I'm Furious.
Fauci, who according to the New York Times maybe kind of muzzled by the administration.
It's the worst global pandemic since Baby Shark. There are now over 80,000 confirmed cases in 40 countries, including 57 confirmed cases right here in the United States. 58. And so, today, the President of the United States held an emergency press conference to address people's concerns.
I've just received another briefing from a great group of talented people. We're ready to adapt and we're ready to do whatever we have to. As the disease spreads, if it spreads, the level that we've had in our country is very low and those people are getting better. We're very, very ready for this. I'm going to be putting our Vice President Mike Pence in charge. I'm going to ask Mike Pence to say a few words, please. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, this is major news. Vice President Mike Pence will be in charge of America's effort to contain the coronavirus. And I think this is great. Yeah, because Mike Pence has a lot of experience in this area. He's been quarantining himself from women his whole life. This is great. And some might be worried. Some might be worried because when Mike Pence was governor of Indiana, he enabled an HIV outbreak when he didn't follow the advice of public health officials. But I'll be honest, I still feel safer with him than with Trump. Right? Because Trump, first of all, if you saw the briefing, didn't seem to know anything that we didn't. It's like he just gets his news online with us.
Just like, I saw a thing, it looks bad, really pretty bad. It's like some people have it, a lot of people have it, you might have it, I don't even know if I have it.
And earlier this week, when Trump was briefed on the virus, he seemed less concerned about a pandemic hurting people than he was about it hurting the economy. Because that's Trump's real nightmare.
The most optimistic projection for the spread of the virus is this. 24 hours, 36 hours, 48 hours.
The greatest medical crisis of all time.
We can't stop it. Begins.
No, not my poor stock market. Not Wall Street. I'll nurse you back to health with my special chicken soup. It's a KFC bucket poured with Diet Coke.
It's delicious. Don't judge. Don't judge. The Diet Coke undoes the KFC. And also, when Trump first talked about the coronavirus earlier this week, I'm not going to lie, it wasn't exactly reassuring.
The coronavirus, which is, very well under control in our country. We have very few people with it. The people are getting better. They're all getting better. I think that whole situation will start working out. A lot of talent, a lot of brain power is being put behind it. $2.5 billion we're putting in. There's a very good chance you're not going to die.
Okay, we're definitely all gonna die. You know, Trump is great for jokes, but in times of crisis, Trump is the worst person to reassure the nation. Because a president is like a parent. They're supposed to make people feel like they have things under control.
Trump is like, yeah, maybe you never... Like, he's the kind of parents who would freak their kid out even more. He's like, Daddy, there are monsters under my bed? Are they there? Be like, I don't know, kid. Probably not. But, nobody knows for sure. Nobody knows.
You can't hide from
him. You could have swallowed a tiny monster and it's growing in your tummy right now.
By the time they believe in him, it'll be too late. The Boogeyman.
24 hours, 36 hours, 48 hours.
The greatest medical crisis of all time.
Not asking for the Department of Homeland Security.
Are you looking?
I'm asking for the American people.
For the entire American public?
Yes.
No, I would say probably not.
Okay, how short are we?
I don't have that number offhand, Senator. I will get that for you.
Okay, but I want to be sure I understand. Somebody,
yes, sir,
is doing modeling.
Yes, sir.
On how many cases we're anticipating.
Yes, sir.
Just not aware of.
The answer. You're asking me a number of medical questions that
I'm asking
CDC
you questions because you're Secretary of the Department
on.
Of Homeland Security, and you're supposed to keep us safe.
Yes, sir.
And you need to know the answers to these questions.
And
how far away are we from getting a vaccine?
In several months.
Well, that's not what we just heard testimony about.
Okay.
Who's on first here?
So that was the Republican Louisiana Senator, John Kennedy, questioning the head of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf. Lori Garrett.
Pretty abysmal situation. Where we are right now is that everybody is recognizing, oops, it was a big mistake by the Trump administration to obliterate the entire infrastructure of pandemic response that the Obama administration had created. The entire infrastructure of pandemic response that the Obama administration had created. Why did he do it? Well, it certainly wasn't about the money, because it wasn't a heavily funded program. It was certainly because it was Obama's program.
And explain, you're talking about the unit within the Centers for Disease Control.
No, we're talking about something much vaster than that. It was a special division inside the National Security Council, a special division inside of the Department of Homeland Security that Bozo was talking from, and collaborating centers in HHS headquarters in Washington, the Office of Global Health Affairs, and the Commerce Department, Treasury Department. But what Obama understood dealing with Ebola in 2014 is that any American response had to be an all of government response. That there were so many agencies overlapping and they all had a little piece of the puzzle in the case of a pandemic. Do this mental exercise with me, Amy. If we get to the situation where we're anything like what's going on in China right now, then our Department of Commerce, our Department of Transportation, and our Department of USDA would have to collaborate to get food deliveries all over America so that parts of America don't starve. And you could see in China convoys, hundreds of 18-wheeler vehicles completely full of food coming into Wuhan every single day. Do we have the capacity to coordinate that? What the Obama administration realized was that you can't corral multiple agencies and things from private sector as well as public sector to come to the aid of America unless you have some one person in charge who's really the manager of it all. And that in his case, it was Ron Klain, who had worked under Vice President Biden, and he was designated with an office inside the White House to give orders and coordinate all these various things. Well, that was all eliminated. It's gone. And now they're hastily trying to recreate something. And last night, there were many names tossed around about who he was going to appoint as head of the response. He had previously gone on the record, President Trump, saying, I have great faith in Secretary Azar and my HHS secretary will be in charge. And we're told from multiple sources that right up until they got on stage for that press briefing, Azar thought he was in charge. And then the president says, and here's my good friend Mike Pence, and he's taking charge.
Well, there are reports that Trump was very angry that Azar had even raised the concerns he did publicly, because Trump was majorly concerned about the markets, and that he had brought people in to the United States from the cruise ship.
Right.
They were Americans, and they were, as you were saying, sitting in a petri dish. That cruise ship of thousands, hundreds of people got infected, even when they were in lockdown.
Which we're approaching 1,000. It may very well end up that half of the crew and passengers will be infected before that story finishes playing out.
From people who are saying that they're backing up the truck on this, or no?
No. I mean, listen, I've talked to guys throughout the day saying, hold on a second. We've still got stocks we really like that maybe we're keeping an eye on to buy. It was Warren Buffett 2 days ago who said, obviously, Corona was a concern, but the way Warren Buffett invests, he likes a company. He invests in them for 20 years, 30 years. None of us are day traders, and certainly the viewers at home aren't, and we wouldn't recommend anyone to be. So fundamentally, if there's businesses or industries you like, no one's turning it around. But what people here, and you said it, are most concerned about is the lack of information.
Now, concerns of a global pandemic are growing, but fear not. The president knows he has a solemn duty to protect himself, because the Trump campaign is afraid that the coronavirus will hurt his re-election bid. I look forward to that transcript being released.
Hello, Ukraine. I need dirt on a Hunter coronavirus.
So yesterday, Trump tried to reassure us all.
There's a very good chance you're not going to die.
Oh. Really?
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Really nice.
That's very comforting. Thank you very much.
This is your captain speaking. We are beginning our final descent into Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Put your tray tables up, because we've got a solid chance of landing this sucker. I say, odds are 60-40. We walk away from this.
Trump knows who's to blame for what he sees as unnecessary panic.
Low ratings, fake news, MSDNC, Comcast, and CNN are doing everything possible to make the coronavirus look as bad as possible. The coronavirus is totally contained. It will not become a pandemic like smallpox.
San Diego.
Now, why is he blaming the media for a disease? Well, here's the thing. The stock market fell almost 2,000 points in 2 days and was down again today. So to quell the panic on the street, Trump dispatched White House economic advisor and, oh my God, he's got the virus!
Intimate contact, and that is because of human activities.
So talk about this connection between climate crisis and the coronavirus. We're not hearing very much about this.
Well, we know in a general sense that the climate crisis is resulting in tens of thousands of wild species moving into new places. It's scrambling our migration patterns. And so that's going to contribute to this broader phenomenon of people and wildlife coming into new kinds of contact. We can see with, for example, deforestation, that when you cut down the trees where bats roost, for example, they don't just go away. They come and roost in your back gardens and your farms and your yards instead. And that allows people and bats to come into new kinds of contact. And the microbes that live in their bodies, which don't cause them any kind of disease, can spill over into human bodies. And that's how we turn animal microbes into these epidemic and pandemic causing pathogens.
So how should this be dealt with? How should people understand the coronavirus? Diseases always exist, but how are epidemics and pandemics preventable?
I mean, infectious disease is always going to exist. We live on a microbial planet, so that's part of the human condition. We're not going to get rid of all of the microbes, nor would we ever want to. But pandemics are something that we can do a lot to prevent. There's a lot we can do to protect wildlife habitat, for example, so that the microbes in animals' bodies stay in their bodies and don't cross over into our bodies. We can do a lot to do active surveillance, to actually look for microbes that might be turning into human pathogens and try to contain them before they start to cause epidemics. And that is scientific work that has been really successful the past 10 years.
Sanders leads the Democratic field in national polls. He's the front runner.
You're making a lot of people nervous. Is that a bad thing?
Bernie Sanders has been arguing that everyone can have health care, education, and a decent paying job.
Let's use the federal government to protect the interests of working families.
Isn't that a dangerous message for Democrats?
Blah, 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 blah. Liar.
And that's just one of Bernie Sanders' many proposals. There's also free public college, cancellation of all student debt, a federal job guarantee, and a Green New Deal to rapidly reduce carbon emissions.
How are you going to pay for this? Through a modest tax on Wall Street speculation.
How would that even work?
We have a tax on wealth, as you well know, Anderson.
Do you know how much, though? I mean, do you have a price tag?
Oh, boy. How are you going to pay for that?
Are you getting mad?
It's taxes on billionaires, you know? How are you going to pay for over $750 billion on military spending? How are you going to pay for $1 trillion in tax breaks to the 1% and large corporations, which was what Trump did? We'll be right back.
for another episode of This Is All So Very Normal. Nothing to worry about here. Yeah.
Yeah, you can start feeling glad, 'cause you're not gonna miss something that you never had.
Might be the Democratic nominee. Bernie has now won the popular vote in the first three primary contests, making him the clear frontrunner, and now Politico is reporting that Bernie Sanders has sent the Democratic establishment into panic mode. And you can tell because the general tenor of the coverage on cable news has gone something like this.
NBC News projects Bernie Sanders, the winner in Nevada.
What the f*** is going on?
Pundits across cable news have been freaking out about Bernie's rise. For example, you might remember that after Bernie won the popular vote in Iowa and again in New Hampshire, the story wasn't that he was winning, but that if you use pundit math, he was actually losing.
I don't understand how Bernie is considered a frontrunner.
In New Hampshire, 52% of voters wanted either Pete Buttigieg or Amy Klobuchar or Joe Biden. Moderates are winning.
Why wasn't Buttigieg's win in Iowa a bigger banner headline? He also has upset Bernie Sanders in both states.
The story of the night, Amy Klobuchar, now in third place.
The story of the Sanders campaign so far this year is how much ground he's lost from 4 years ago.
That's right. By winning states, Bernie is actually losing ground. You see, as all expert pundits know, you don't want to win the first two. That's a rookie mistake, wherein you come off as needy, or as the kids would say, thirsty. You want to throw everyone off by losing a bunch of states, playing it cool off to the side until someone finally says, who's that fellow with zero delegates? No, seriously. No, seriously, who is that? Oh, all right. See, according to the pundits, you don't want to actually win the first two states like Bernie did. You want to follow the Joe Biden path, coming fourth in Iowa, fifth in New Hampshire, and a distant second in Nevada. And on top of all that, just wander over during a crucial debate and give the front runner a hug. You know?
Establishment's jaws are hanging off their faces. Nobody 6 months ago thought we'd be sitting here with Bernie Sanders on his way to the nomination. He's on his way to the nomination. Now something could happen to stop him. Somebody might have some marbles to throw on the stairs or banana peel. They better find it.
Money?
They better find it, because this guy is off and running, and he's done something extraordinary. First of all, and I'm sure we'll hear about it from you, this is a youth quake. You got a new generation stepping up. They're not scared of any of these ideas, and they're tired of hearing Republicans call everything that we say socialist. So they've ruined the word socialist. It doesn't mean anything for the younger people. You've got the Latinos stepping up now in a major, major way behind Bernie Sanders. He's running as if he's a Latino candidate now. And these ideas are no longer as scary to a whole bunch of Democratic voters. This could be a disaster for us in the general election. It's hard to know, but this is a phenomenon. And, you know, we got to acknowledge people underestimated Bernie Sanders every step of the way, including today.
Precisely on the platform of running against billionaires and the idea that billionaire power is excessive and is suffocating the American dream for people. Then you have the $1,700 to $3,200 tickets, which captures the way in which the Democratic Party is an ostrich, not understanding that we live in an age in which people are actually rising up against plutocracy, and this is the kind of, you know, foot fault that you don't want to make. And then you have, you know, CBS is a big corporation hosting a debate. Twitter is collaborating. That's owned by a billionaire. Billionaires are the stewards, the captains of an economy that has generated so much of the rage this year that is being, that is presenting itself in the election. And so this is an election in which you have to have a stand. You have to know where you stand on the question of billionaires in order to vote in this primary and in this general election. If you don't have a perspective on billionaires, you can't actually make this choice meaningfully, because for very long in this country, the story that we have told about billionaires is they are like helium balloons. They're just people who happen to have drifted up from among the rest of us. That's been the story. And yes, they had more, and maybe the gap was a little too high, but they were just people who drifted up, and maybe if we could get more people, a little helium, and drift them up, then we'd be better off. A new story is emerging, a truer story, which is that a lot of those folks, and certainly that class of people, is up there because they are standing on other people's backs. And they stand on people's backs by using and abusing tax havens like Bermuda. Hello, Bloomberg. They stand on people's backs by profiting from an economy like the financial sector that has destroyed the American dream for so many people. Hello, Michael Bloomberg. They stand on people's backs by lobbying for bottle service public policy that is of private benefit to them but detrimental to the public. And I think Americans are actually waking up to the fact that we have been living in this, what I call this winners-take-all America, in which the country is not being run for Americans. It is being run for money. I actually have gotten tired of the language of inequality, even though I wrote an entire book about it, multiple books about it, because I think people don't, it doesn't click with people what we're actually talking about. So if you are someone listening to this who's not, I mean, you're probably not because you're watching Democracy Now!, but someone who's not so excited about the inequality issue, think about it this way. In every year in this country and in all countries, a certain amount of future rains on all of us. A certain amount of progress rains on all of us. A certain amount of innovation rains on all of us, right? Innovation, the Latin word for new stuff. And the question then becomes, when that new stuff, the future, progress rains on us, who gets it? Who harvests the rainwater? And what has actually happened is the future has become a thing that is privately gated and enjoyed and monopolized by very few people. Which means that you can be living in an age where extraordinary things are being invented, the internet is being invented, medical advances are happening. But if you are not in the gated community that enjoys the fruits of the future, you are stuck in 1979. And that's true as a matter of wages for many people. It's true as a matter of health access for many people. It's true as a matter of information access for many people who are listening to media that is distorting their minds. And I think what's at stake in 2020 is we wake up to the idea that either we are going to resign ourselves to living in a country that billionaires rule, Or we're going to actually muster the gumption to remind billionaires that they are living in our country.
I want to go not to last night's debate, but the Las Vegas debate. The time when Mike Bloomberg, you might have called him the pinata in Nevada. And this is the exchange between Senator Sanders and former New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg. This was moderated by MSNBC.
What we need to do to deal with this grotesque level of income and wealth inequality is make sure that those people who are working, you know what, Mr. Bloomberg, wasn't you who made all that money. Maybe your workers played some role in that as well.
WCOM LPFM Chapel Hill Carborough. I'm Furious George. This is a Furious George show. We are the non-commercial, genuinely community-based radio. We've got some other friends out there, some other low-power radio out there, and some cool non-commercial, semi-public radio out there, and even some of the, you know, some of the... Okay, WCHL has supported WCOM, so I'll just throw a shout-out to them. We've also, like I said, got some LPFM radio, low-power FM radio, definitely kicking out of Hillsboro. I think there's some new stuff coming up in Raleigh's. And, of course, we've got old-school stuff that's been going on, beating out of Asheville for a long time. PVM. And, of course, before that was Free Radio Asheville, which yours truly, Furious George, helped start up. And it's been doing the Furious show ever since 1989. I'm sorry, 98. Okay, only 98. Feels like 89. But these years have been some of the craziest and most consequential, and it's just mind-blowing. We're in some really interesting times. If you want to look at all the old shows, including spotlighting the impending Trumpocalypse, before he was elected, and then now, all the stuff that's been going on. And then, of course, though, we... Equal Opportunity Critic went after the Obama administration, and before that, the Bush apocalypse, whatever. Sorry, I get it mixed up. We do this every Thursday because it helps get us through, and we also like to help out in our own special way, whether that's shining the light on some seriously corrupt evilness, or also supporting amazing, inspiring people like Bernie, and throwing some cool beats in the background. That's Daedalus there in the background, and we'll throw in some more fun new music. Like I said, I promise we'd be playing some crazy cool instrumentals of some kind or another. We're going to get into that. We're going to also make sure we have some, swing back and address some of these global pandemic issues that apparently are now breaking out, so... I guess we should do our part and just say, look, everybody should be washing their hands. If you're sick, stay home. And if you have any question about whether or not you've been around somebody that's sick, start dosing up on some vitamin C right now and then see how you feel. Everyone, so for real, this is not a joke. We are, despite what Trump says, and that it apparently is decreasing, I'm seeing reports tonight that this could, there's like already
thousands of people quarantined in California. So apparently everything's fine here. We're going to hope for that to continue that way and send our prayers and thoughts to the folks. Well, I don't really do much of some of that. I will send my support and spotlight the problem here on WCOM FM, LPFM, low power, micro powered, community based radio. But we do actually have some stations out there on the West Coast, and who knows what's going on here on the East Side. This is really happening the way it might be. I don't think anyone should really let their guard down. So we're going to support our community here in downtown Carrboro and Chapel Hill and Chatham County, Orange County, Durham, the Triangle, Raleigh. We're going to have lots of fun stuff, crazy cool people that help make this station happen. WCOM is a low-power community station driven by all-volunteer support. And we've been doing this for about, goodness, now 15 years. And then, I did Furious Radio, Dr. Furious Radio, well, before he was Dr. Furious, back in 98, starting up in Asheville when it was illegal. And now it's legal, and now we can actually do our part to make sure our community knows what we think will help make the best decisions out there. So support community radio, support good scientific-based decision-making. And if you want to see the Furious George Show, go to furiousg.blogspot. Give us a call here at 919-246-9639. Or most importantly, go to WCOMFM.org and support the station. Thanks for listening to Mike Power Radio. I'm Furious!
Politicians right now. They want to hear from the scientists to know what is being done, what needs to be done, what we're missing, such as the testing, for example, and what they can do to protect themselves.
I want to turn to President Trump addressing reporters Wednesday night at the White House press briefing room. One of the reporters questioned Trump on his comments about how former President Obama handled the Ebola outbreak in 2014.
I want to talk to you about 2014. During the Ebola crisis, you said you wanted a quote-unquote full travel ban. You said Obama was a quote-unquote stubborn dope, not for doing it. You said, just stop the flight stubbies. You also said it was a quote-unquote total joke to appoint someone to lead the Ebola response with, quote, zero experience in the medical field. Now you've appointed
They listened to a lot of what I had to say.
I did.
So they
had
they listened to a lot. Well, because there's a much different problem than Ebola. Ebola, you disintegrated, especially at the beginning. They made a lot of progress now.
The domestic projection for the spread of the virus is this.
You always fight so hard.
36 hours, 48 hours.
Again, they're pretty obnoxious, and they're very sexist and misogynist.
So what is the tactic besides using bad language and scaring people?
They've called Elizabeth Warren a snake. They called Pete Buttigieg a rat.
Is that what you want from a Bernie Sanders supporter?
What we used to call Bernie bros, which I think is now way too limiting a term, savaging them online.
Does that behavior reflect on Sanders' ability to bring the country together? You've seen all those reports.
These people on the left who have large Twitter followings, look, I know you don't like us. Now you're gonna keep fucking tweeting at us? Fine, do whatever the fuck you want.
Oh!
Mr. Bloomberg, like anybody else, has a right to run for president. He does not have a right to buy the presidency.